Hello and welcome to Leaf and Let Die. Today, the tea is True Blueberry Herbal Tea, caffeine-free. 100% natural teas from Celestial Seasonings, bursting with more fruit flavor. So let us begin the steeping.
Bursting with more fruit flavor?
Yes.
Somebody is in very close danger of copyright issues. Oh, and another one without a string.
A string, yes.
Oh, this is the second one. The first one, I believe, was the candy cane.
Yes, the candy cane.
Cane tea from the year one show that we had at Seven Stars.
Was that
easy.
Holiday?
It foamed.
It was terrible.
It was
so foam versus bursting.
Yes, and exactly.
What if it does burst? What do we do?
We drink through our teeth.
Okay.
All right. Now, today our topic is, since it is the Croctober season.
Oh, yes.
We're going to talk about ghost stories.
Excellent.
Ooh. Excellent. Now, do you have a favorite ghost story?
Yes, I do.
Well, why don't you tell us your favorite ghost story?
And I wish it was my favorite ghost story personally, but it's Tracy's ghost story.
See, I have the same thing.
Yes. So he has the magic touch. He gets all the full-bodied apparitions.
Oh.
I'm the sound person. He's the video person. So he's at the USS Hornet. It's Fleet Week.
Oh.
Hangar deck. And, you know, various folks in uniform from different ships visiting and so forth. So he sees a sailor. And he approaches, this is back when we work in security, and he approaches to ask a question, thinking, okay, let me ask what ship he's from, find out if he wants to get a special tour, etc. You know, always tip that to the veterans. And he looked away for a moment, looked up, gone. And it was just as clear as you sitting across from me with this soon-to-be bursting tea.
Yes. Wow. Mm. You see, that's what I call creepy. And that's never happened to me. Chuck?
I would be JC.
No, you're Chuck tonight. Tonight, you are Chuck.
I'm Chuck. Well, it's a double dollar guarantee that I've...
There we go.
Oh, I made a mistake.
He knows
yes.
it.
Nice.
He knows it.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. So, God, ghost stories. I actually have two very quick ones. There was this odd thing that happened with Brad, Commissioner Bradford last week, where he thought he saw... Wait a minute. We have that on recording, so I'm going to go
right,
over
that.
Okay.
Right.
Actually, when I was a teenager... Living at home, we lived in a two-story, and it was very common for my folks to call me from the bottom of the staircase. You know, I was in my room, and one night I heard somebody calling me from the staircase, as usual. And I said, "What?" No response. I go to the end of the top of the staircase. "What do you guys want?" "What? Did you call me?" "No." Okay, well, I heard a distinct voice calling out to me from the bottom of the staircase. That I had to chalk that up to something kind of odd and creepy. So, I mean, it's about as close to ghost-like as I can get for a ghost story.
See, I've got two. One's mine and one's my dad's. My dad was the guy who saw ghosts. He actually knew Sylvia Brown and was going to go with her to the Toys R Us investigation where they shot the guy in the thing.
Yes.
But, so, my story is I lived in a haunted dorm my freshman and sophomore years in Emerson, the Charles Gate Hotel. And it used to be, and then it became the Charles Gate.
Speaking of.
Hello.
Weird. one day I was walking to the common room, and it's about 100 yards from my room to where the common room was. And as I was walking, I heard someone walking behind me. And every time I would stop and look back, it would stop. And so we did this 4 or 5 times, and then I was like maybe 5 feet away from the common room, and I ran into the common room, and I heard it go down the hall, and then about 5-10 seconds later, someone opens their door, looks out, says, "What? What?" So apparently, after that, someone had knocked on her door. There was no one else in the hall at all. So, that was creepy.
It didn't want you.
It didn't want me. It wanted her, yeah. But I was just in the way, and it was too polite to push past me. Which is fine.
It could have been a previous student who had died and was still pranking people.
That's always the story.
Well, it used to be what pranking. It was is there was a back elevator at Emerson back when it was still the Charles Gate Hotel, and it was during Prohibition, and there was an elevator crash. Now, what also happened, now we don't think anyone was killed in it, though. What was actually, and had actually been photographed, is underneath the hotel were existing stables And they've actually, at one point, there was a fire that caused the stables to be gutted, apparently. Mm-hmm. And so there have been photos of spectral horses down there, which kind of creeped the hell out of me. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now, JC!
Hey!
Oh, my timing's excellent.
So, yes. Chuck, JC?
Apparently I'm Chuck tonight, so.
Yes.
That just slid right over me, man. No messing with my head.
Perfect. What's your favorite ghost story?
My favorite ghost story?
Mm-hmm.
Probably the Countess von Altabaren.
Interesting. Tell me more.
Had something to do, like, back in the Middle Ages, the Countess got screwed over by a certain lord or something like that, and so the descendants of this lord have faced rather gruesome endings and sightings of the Countess Altabaren over the generations. So it's like a ghost curse story, right? Good, yeah.
Dun, dun,
wow.
Dun.
Now, my second ghost story is my dad's, and it's my favorite. So my dad lived in Watsonville, and
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. But this is back in the day when all it was Artichoke Farms and that one bar that's still there. There weren't any meth labs yet. They were coming, though.
They hadn't built Pajaro Dunes yet. That's why there were no meth labs.
That's true. So my grandmother lived in this old giant Victorian that had this porch. My great-grandmother at this point. His grandmother, my great-grandmother. My kids, great-great-grandmother. Their kids, great-great-great-grand. I think you see where this lineage is going.
We get the picture, yes.
Okay, so...
I see the tree.
So basically, you had this big porch, you had a few steps down, and it was sort of open underneath, so you could walk underneath it if you wanted. And then there was a huge field of artichokes, because that's all there is.
And the bar.
And the bar, yes. So Dad walks out one day, and he's looking, and he doesn't see this huge field of artichokes. He sees, like, just sand dunes and, like, some small, like, lean-tos and stuff. And he's kind of concerned. And then he walks down the steps. And he suddenly sees this flame thing happening about 10 feet in front of him. And he's like, okay, that's scary. And he takes another couple steps. And the entire view of his field just turns into fire. And he's like, ah! Runs and dives underneath the porch and stays there just watching, and nothing's burning, but there are flames everywhere. And eventually his grandpa comes down and says, Johnny, get up. He's like, but it's all on fire. And he says, I saw it too. What? So apparently this happens.
Was this not interpreted as like some sort of burning bush?
Probably
no
was.
Voice. Did any voices come out?
I don't
at
think
all,
my
or?
Dad was. I don't think my dad was Jewish enough to really get a burning bush.
Does this usually happen at a certain time of year?
Yes. Now that was the thing. This was during the height of summer.
Okay, because maybe it has. You know, we have the great pumpkin around Halloween. Maybe the fire presages the coming of the great artichoke.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Whoa. It. Okay, it's time for the Bob. Are you ready?
Oh shit!
Bob,
I did miss
Bob,
the tea.
Bob. Bob. Okay, we're going to need another few moments.
Yeah, I have to say that it seems like the tea color is matching your shirt.
It is, kind of, yes. I'm wearing a Joker shirt.
What's tonight's pleasure, by the way?
Today's pleasure is true blueberry.
Blueberry tea.
You do sort of have the purple
just in time
thing going tonight.
Yes.
And I'm getting a slight aroma.
I am.
It waft.
It is wafting.
And that's actually very pleasant, unlike what we've had normally in the past.
So if we can't drink the shit, at least it's potpourri, right?
That's
so.
True. That's
there you go.
Okay, what's your favorite ghost film?
My favorite ghost film? Probably The Ring.
Oh, The Ring is freaking scary.
That is really good.
Original
actually.
Or remake?
Just, you know, I've only seen the American version, so I can't compare.
Naomi Watts is really good in that.
But you know, it was just well written and creepy and
yeah.
Is she on your list that you were just sharing with us?
Not quite.
Okay. Is like his list.
He's
or,
got a list.
Unless
okay.
unless she's
wearing a
unless
skin
she's
list.
Dressed up like a jet girl from Tank Girl. So what's yours?
Wow.
I have a couple. Ghostbusters is always going to be on top.
Yes.
Ghostbusters is a great choice.
Ghost Stories with
Ghost Stories.
Fred Astaire.
Oh, Ghost Story, yeah. Based on the Peter Straub novel, yeah.
That's right.
That is an awesome
That
awesome
was a good
ghost
film.
Story.
That's another kind of revenge ghost story.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know if this qualifies as a ghost story, but Prince of Darkness.
You know, I've never seen Prince of
that
Darkness.
That movie scares the shit out of me.
Thank you. I'm not going to be able to sleep.
But yeah,
but,
that's.
But you will be able to shit.
Hopefully not while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
Hopefully she's not going to be sleeping. See, so it all works out perfectly.
But I highly recommend Ghost Story. So that's and seeing Fred Astaire in such a different role.
Yeah, I think that was that his last role. It was one of
that was one of his
one
last,
of his last roles.
Was, one, if not his
that
last.
That was Alice Creed, right?
But it was so it was such a different role for him, and he was brilliant in it. I loved it. I highly recommend.
That was
Ghost
a good
Story
one too. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
Ghost Story definitely scared the crud out of me. Ghostbusters got to put in the plug. Big petition to bring Ecto One back from the dead, rotting away in Hollywood like so many other beloved.
Oh
vehicles.
No, it's been restored.
They did?
Yes, they actually they restored Woo-hoo! It. They restored it a few years ago. In fact, we were supposed to actually be a part of that celebration, but they ran out of budget because they ran out of money with the budget because they sunk it all into in restoring the Ecto-1.
Makes sense. True car.
Other stories?
And I don't know if this actually counts as a ghost story since it came from the man's imagination, but The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
There's ghosts all over.
Yeah, there's ghosts all over.
The story of the Stanley Hotel, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then King's interpretation, but I remember my father and mother wouldn't let me see Aliens because they were worried about nightmares, but they had no qualms about taking me to see The Shining.
Well, because it's based on literature.
And you know, Stanley Kubrick was just the director for that film.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he really was.
Mm-hmm. Pay no attention to that TV adaptation miniseries.
Tim Daly version was nowhere near.
Move right past that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I love Tim Daly, but nowhere near the original.
No. Yeah. Now, you know, I have to say The Shining would be on my list. Ghostbusters would be on my list. I'm actually going to go with a film that I think is one of my favorite films overall, and that is The Others.
Oh, yeah.
Nicole Kidman in
That's
probably
right.
her second best acting role.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's got Chris Eccleston. It's creepy as all get out, and there's a creepy little girl.
Always.
And let me guess, your favorite one of hers is Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut is the best... Eyes Wide Shut, and what's the one with...
Speaking of Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Eyes Wide Shut has the best opening shot in history.
Somewhere in hell, Stanley Kubrick is going, this is why I'm in hell.
All right, it is time...
No, he hasn't drank the tea yet.
That's true. Yeah. It is time to pour the tea.
Ooh, sumptuous.
Oh my goodness.
Ooh, lovely.
Oh, that actually looks really nice.
Kind of has like an Oompa Loompa shade to it. Or no, Violet Beauregard when she's Fat Bear. Yeah,
it was a little more
beautiful. I will say that this is the most pleasant of colors that we've seen of teas so far.
Absolutely. It's
really nice, actually.
All right, everyone, sniff the waft.
Again, can work as potpourri.
Yeah, good.
I'm almost scared to taste it now because it's been so good so far, both visually and olfactory.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Stanley, here I come.
That's nice.
That's not shabby, yeah.
It's almost like a tart berry.
It is a tart berry, you're right. Now, I think if we had let it steep a little more.
Yeah, you're still need
a little
couple
deeper.
More minutes.
A couple more minutes, I think it would have developed the flavor because it's a little watery, a little thin.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that we have the first decent tasting tea on this show yet. Besides Miss Brett Schneider's, what was that? The
honorary tea,
sweet tea vodka.
Honorary
yes.
vodka.
That was excellent.
You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, this is. You know what I like about this is the scent is really nice.
And it's decidedly unlike furniture polish remover.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not offensive.
And it gets the whole mouth is what I really like. You know what I think?
Where does it get the whole mouth?
Right on my face.
Okay.
Wait.
I don't feel my mustache curling, so.
I'm going to guess that this is not a Bigelow tea.
No, this is a Celestial Seasoning.
That's half the battle right there.
Also, I just got this on Friday, so it has not been sitting in a box for up to 7 years.
Oh,
I was
going to
guess 5.
Yeah.
So if you're stocking up for the apocalypse, don't go for the Bigelow because it doesn't do
well. No, it does
Bigelow
not.
Does not hold well over time.
No.
But,
I have to say, I am pleased with this.
This is pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. Usually when I walk in the room and I see you doing this, you know, I sort of have that...
Yeah. It is a tart berry taste that is not offensive for once.
Yeah.
Very smooth.
All right.
Wow.
Now we're going to ask you some more questions about ghosts.
Excellent.
Now, you've done some ghost hunting.
I have.
Now, what's been your favorite ghost hunting place so far?
Oh, USS Hornet, hands down.
The Hornet? Yeah, that makes sense.
The Hornet delivers every single time.
You had experiences on the Hornet?
I have.
EVP type stuff, or
I've had EVPs. I did have a visual, not as good as Tracy's, but with what's called the blue plasma. When you have a ship made of metal, which they typically are, sitting in water, you think, okay, conductivity, and so the phenomenon is blue plasma. Yes. We were doing fire watch one night, and instant aqua reflection on the bulkheads, and then it disappeared.
Wow.
Came and went, just that fast.
Wow.
Ah, the blue plasma. Mm-hmm. Some sort of energy manifestation. Of course, we did the whole debunk routine of checking angles and reflections from the bay and what doors were open and hatches and whatnot. No, couldn't justify it.
Really?
So no disembodied artichokes, though.
Now, that's a separate investigation.
No, that's your next investigation.
That's the next one. Become my new favorite, in fact.
Now, I've never been on a ghost hunt, but the other great story that I have is I was working at the Century 23.
This is not cheap.
And 23 is abutting the Winchester House.
Yes.
And so one night I was there, because I usually worked at 22, but I was at 23 for the night. And they had the garbage cans at that point still out, when it was still a valid theater. They had the garbage cans out, so you had to go change them in the middle of the night. And so two guys go out to do it, and I'm the only one left cleaning up, and I'm cleaning. And the two guys just come running back in like, we're not going back out there. No way we're going back out there. Why not? Saw this woman walk through the ivy. And we were like, okay. She was like some meth head out there enjoying herself. Just came out of the ivy. But then she continued to walk through a car. And at that point, no, we're done. We're done. And I...
Well, yeah. no matter how much of the ice pony you get.
I've always kind of maintained that the Century Theaters are built on top of... a sacred
burial ground.
Didn't that used to be Winchester property?
Yeah.
Yes. And the only thing they moved was the headstones.
Should you see some movie in there and have like a poltergeist experience or whatever?
Exactly. Well, a lot of the folks who worked there back in the day used to say that one of the rooms in the 22 was haunted, and I never bought it. That one of the big things that happened a lot was you'd come in and they would stack up the things of syrup for the Coke and they'd be knocked over.
Right.
And then, you know, I sort of realized, you know, stacking things in a single line is not a great way to ensure stability.
Well, okay. But, you know, I want to put out a shot for the original Ghostbusters, Spencer, Tracy, and Kong.
Yeah.
That's true.
So who remembers? Right. It was Forrest Tucker, Larry Storch, and some guy in a gorilla suit.
Forrest
and
Tucker.
Oddly, Larry Storch was Kong.
That's right.
Wow.
That's well right. Done,
shared the Saturday morning ticket with Electro Woman and Dinah Girl and Dr. Shrinker.
And you know, actually, speaking of poltergeist again, another really good ghost.
Poltergeist.
Really. Unfortunately, it's also laden with curses for the actors who've been
in it. The problem with poltergeist, though, is that watching poltergeist today, it has aged so poorly.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's so much of the film which has been parodied. It's almost like trying to watch, you know, The Empire Strikes Back when he says, "No, I am your father," and it doesn't have that same impact anymore. You know, it's almost kind of a parody of itself now.
Well, that there here bit has been done to death. So.
Yeah, and you know, watching The Conjuring, like we thought that.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
Poltergeist is all over that film.
Absolutely. There's lots of films.
There's lots of films all over that film. Poltergeist is the big one, though.
So Poltergeist is like a slut. It's just all over everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm, that one I haven't partaken in. Believe it or not, and I should probably turn in my ghost hunting card at this point, I have not seen Poltergeist.
You haven't seen
Poltergeist?
Oh, my goodness. See Poltergeist.
It's pretty tame.
1982, right?
Yeah.
You'll still enjoy it for watching it for the first time, but you know, a lot of people don't know this, but Poltergeist is actually a direct ripoff from an original Twilight Zone episode.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, if you watch this Twilight Zone episode, you're like, okay, they did that. I mean, it's pretty much, I think that's Steven Spielberg's inspiration for that movie, obviously.
I gotta say, the first three Paranormal Activity movies kind of made me almost doo-doo my pants.
The greatest sting in the history of film, as far as I'm concerned, happens in, I think it's Paranormal Activity 3. And it's, they put a camera on a oscillating fan.
Yeah.
and you see the kitchen, and it turns away, and it's looking at the living room, and then it goes back, and all the kitchen stuff's gone, and then it just crashes down from the ceiling.
That was film three, because that's the one where, at the end, they take you to the place that's supposed to be the safest place for you in the world.
Yes.
Crap right on your head.
Yep.
I have not seen any of those films. Are they good enough to watch?
Yeah, I got them.
Three is really good. I haven't seen one or two.
Yeah, they're three for me had the most oh my god ending, but I'll slide them your direction. I got all three.
Oh, awesome.
There's a fourth one too, but nah.
Yeah, three. I have to say, I saw three and I really really enjoyed it.
But don't you think at the end they just crapped all over you?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Oh. All right. So now, do you have a ghost book to recommend?
Why isn't it on the weekend where the rates are higher, but
I have to think about that, because I just unearthed all of my ghost books from storage.
Oh, nice.
And there's a few about hauntings in California. Mm-hmm. That's particularly enjoyable, and I honestly don't remember the title. And a couple others. Yes, the popular shows have written books about, obviously the Ghost Adventures mm-hmm. crew has their, Zach Bagans wrote a book. I'm here, it's supposed to be good, but I don't know. Haven't read it yet. Turning in my ghost hunting card again. Speaking of ghost hunting, they actually did a book. Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson did a book telling their searches and investigations prior to the show. And then it was interesting because, if you don't know, a lot of folks at sci-fi are jerks. I know, big secret, oh my god. Chuck and JC are shocked. But it was interesting viewing the development of how their investigations went from pre-sci-fi, and it was right before it became SIFI.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the good days.
And then the pressure from the producers and so forth. But that being said, there's so many shows that are still fascinating. But yeah, I'm a little light on my books with that.
I know JC doesn't read. So
actually, I'm going to recommend a couple of Scooby-Doos.
Those meddlesome kids.
Yes. Actually, I will recommend the Scooby-Doo comics written by, who was it? It was the first openly gay wrestler. Spider Baby was his name. No, he's still deeply in the closet.
You can see Narnia?
No,
Hulk,
Narnia.
Hulk Hogan.
Yes, Hulk Hogan, yes. And what's your favorite ghost book?
Really well, right now I have to go with, I'm working my way through the DC Archive edition of the Golden Age Spectre comics.
Oh.
You know, Bernard Bailey and Jerry Siegel,
mm-hmm.
Creators of the Spectre.
Ooh,
and it's important to note, Mr. Del Toro, that I'm reading these in preparation
for when you call me forward.
For this project,
$2 Spectre 2015.
But you're JC, so I don't know how that's going to work.
Oh, well, let me tell you something. It's a double dollar guarantee that Chuck will be called, and we will be playing the Spectre in 2015. Mr. Del Toro, I am ready for my close-up.
Yes.
Now, you know what I'm going to recommend? I'm going to recommend one on the nonfiction side, anything by Lloyd Auerbach. I love Lloyd. Great guy.
Are you going to his presentation on the 25th at the Hornet? Plug, plug, plug.
The 25th at the USS Hornet in Alameda. Correct. Go to, I believe, what's the website for it? This was there yesterday.
USS.hornet.org.
No, I'll be in England.
Oh, you win. England's plenty haunted, sir. And
oh,
there
yes.
was another book that talked about world haunted location. I'm just such a loser. Mm-hmm. I can imagine them stacked in my bedroom, which they are.
Yes.
And I'm totally blanking on titles.
You're right, because no human being could possibly stack books like that.
But the other one is actually Machen. Any of Machen's stories.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Machen was, I would argue that Machen, probably even better than Hodgson, does the whole ghost thing.
Influence on Lovecraft.
Too. Oh, absolutely. Giant.
There's Penguin just put out a nice edition of Machen.
Yes, they did.
With the white god and all that.
Yeah. And what's your, Adrian is here.
The expert
and
is here.
Adrian, what is your favorite ghost book?
That's a hard one for me. I could come up with movies. I cannot come up with a specific book.
Okay, what's your favorite ghost movie then?
Oh dear, The Sixth Sense. Although that's actually more about the psychic. I also like Ghost.
Why did I know she was going to say that?
I kind of thought so too.
Because you're on it, JC.
The Others is good.
The Others. That's That's the one I mentioned.
It's a double dollar guarantee. It's got something to do with Patrick Swayze.
Stacey, that's what she said.
Ghostbusters and then the bed broke. Is fun.
Yes. Ghostbusters, excellent choice.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's one that I'm obviously missing.
Oh, there's like an hour from now, we're all going to look at each other and go, oh, shit. Oh,
I have a book and movie.
Awesome, let it
by The Haunting by Shirley Jackson.
Mm, oh, The Haunting!
Oh, yeah.
Both of those are wet your pants kind of scary.
Yes.
And if you thought the movie was scary, you got to read the book because there's a lot more detail in that.
Oh my god, The Haunting of Hill House.
The Haunting of Hill House. One of my favorites is it The Haunting of Hill House, the one that Vincent Price was in?
No,
that was The House on Haunted Hill.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which one of my favorite.
I love that.
One of my favorite films.
How tall were you, Velasco?
Yes. Hey, Rick Brett Snyder, what's your favorite ghost film?
Yeah, Haunting of Hill House.
There you go. Okay, you see, we all have films. Okay, we are about to run out of battery, so let us do the most important part. Darjeelings are forever. If one villain from the James Bond films were to come back as a ghost, which one would it be?
Oh, Blofeld, you know, after going down that smokestack, he's got to be pissed.
Mo.
Yeah, Blofeld, I would have to agree, because he would be, you know, resurrected as a big ash.
Odd job.
Oh.
Well, Blofeld did kill his wife, but I will have, so you know, Bond would hate him more than any of the others. But I don't know, the one that was just in the last movie with, what's his name?
Yeah,
Wadi. Oh, he was already kind of a ghost.
Ooh, he would scare me.
he would appear without that, without his prosthetic in his face, right?
Yeah,
Rick's got one.
I have the answer, so I might as well go last.
What's the answer?
Baron Samadhi from Live and Let Die.
Well done.
And on that note, this has been Leaf and Let Die.